That's right. Get those car care questions ready for ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel, who runs a pretty great place there called Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How are things at Lloyd's this past week?
Things are great. You know, we kind of got settled into our groove, you know, as you kind of get into the people getting ready. Memorial Day's coming up, and people start thinking ahead. Kids will be out of school. Kids will be home from school. So we're kind of into that where we're scheduling out a week, maybe 2 weeks in some cases, and just have a real nice groove. You know, we're fully staffed, which is nice to say, and the weather's good. So I think all things are looking up.
That's positive. That's great to hear. You know, during the week, folks, once in a while, we'll send a text message. Sometimes we catch it because, you know, things start adding up with text messages all week long. But a couple of folks were wondering basically the same thing about if they want to buy a used car, I don't know exactly what you call it, but at Lloyd's, you can get it checked out before you buy, right? Now, if somebody said, I don't think I want you to get it checked out, that might be a red flag. But you do that sort of examination, don't you?
We do, and I'm most confident everyone's shop, even a dealership. You know, if you have a relationship with someone, before you buy any used vehicle, even if they have a folder of all the records, you want to have your people get a peek at it just to make sure there's not necessarily something bad, but they have maintenance coming up. So you buy a vehicle, your assumption is it's going to be good. You're nothing to worry about. But the reality, you might need brakes, you might need to tune up tires, anything. So I would highly advise anyone before you buy a used vehicle to have it once over on it.
Very good. If you have any kind of problems with your car, your truck, your van, you want to get a little idea what may be wrong before you bring it in for service, why don't you call or text Nick? Just one number will get you that question, 651-461-9226. And I urge you to do that now because Nick leaves us about 7:45, so our time is limited. But we'd love to hear from you again, either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226. Text came in today, Nick, that says this: my emission control warning light went on my 2016 Sonata. Can I damage my engine if I continue to drive it like this?
I think we've said this many times. Anytime you have a warning light, it's telling you that you need to have something looked at. So my advice typically is, if the vehicle's running okay, the warning light's on, schedule an appointment, your convenience, your schedule in the next week or two here. If the vehicle's running poorly, you need to prioritize that. Maybe you have to shuffle your schedule a little bit, but you don't want to create a much more expensive situation. And finally, if that check engine light is flashing, that's telling you you should not be driving the vehicle. So that needs to be towed into your preferred shop, dealership, what have. So it's never good to ignore. At least have it looked at. Maybe you can defer the repair until you have, you know, the means or the time to do it, but at least have it looked at to make sure you know where you're sitting.
What have you seen in your experience, Nick, what could be, not to pin you down in this case, but when you see an emission control warning light, what has happened there in your experience that you've seen?
Well, typically, when they're saying emission control, in the owner's manual, the little check engine light that we all see, the little yellow light that some folks ignore, is technically an emissions control light. So I don't want to simplify it too much because it can be a loose gas cap, 100%. It can also be like a misfire inside the engine that could leave you stranded. So that one light covers a whole range of potential problems. And that's why I say at least have it looked at, get the basic diagnostic done so you know where you're sitting so you don't have to potentially get stranded somewhere.
There's another text, and I know you guys get this quite often, too. We've had it often during the show. How often should I change my wiper blades?
Once they start to streak. Now, you know, our climate, we use salt in the winter, so it's all over. Once they start to streak. Now, you know, our climate, we use salt in the winter, so it's all over our windshield. It dries the rubber out. The summers are warm. You know, there's a lot of variables. The reflection of the glass is hard on them. So annually, every couple of years, it depends on a lot of factors. But I can tell you one thing. Once they start to streak, if you don't take care of it, you could potentially have a problem where maybe it starts to tear. Now you have a piece of plastic or even possibly metal rubbing on that windshield, which can scratch it. You can't undo that. Wiper blades are fairly inexpensive. If you're starting to notice that you can't see so well when it's raining, that's your telltale sign, hey, let's get these replaced.
But I think, at least in my brief limited experience, that some of them are somewhat costly, but the good ones. And I think, is it fair to say that you kind of get what you pay for?
Like many things in life, wiper blades, yes. I don't want to be critical, but like you can get a $8 one or $20 one. There's a world of difference. If you're in a rainstorm, snowstorm, sleet, whatever you have coming down on your windshield, you're trying to drive, you have a family in the vehicle, you want to see. So don't, we're going to split hairs or save pennies. Don't do it on wiper blades. That's not worth it.
No, it's a safety feature. Definitely makes a world of difference. Okay, I'm getting a little signal here, Nick. We're going to take a quick break, but let's invite our listeners to join in on the conversation. If you have any kind of a car, truck, van problem, and you want Nick to kind of analyze it over the radio, just call us or text us. Either way, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. After the break, we'll be back with more of our car care show. In the Twin Cities, our current new temp is 47. We're on our way to 73 with lots of sunshine here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC certified technician Nick Stoffel, who, as I said earlier, runs a place called Lloyd's Automotive on Grand Avenue. Nick, for folks that need your help, where exactly is Lloyd's located?
Well, Lloyd's is located at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. Swing on by. You know, the weather's beautiful. Go out for a walk, grab a bite to eat, come and say hi sometime. If you're in need to give us a call, we're at 651-228-1316. And if you're on your device, your computer, what have, it's lloydsautomotive.net. Now, Denny, I'm actually sitting outside of a hockey rink in Maple Grove, and it is beautiful out. I can tell you that right now. So get outside, people. Get out and enjoy the day.
Well, who's playing there today?
Addison's playing here at 8. And then I'm lucky enough to have a tour of the cities because we have a softball game at noon in Jordan.
Oh, you've got some driving to do then.
From St. Paul to Maple Grove and Maple Grove to Jordan and back to St. Paul. So I'll have the whole western side of the city's covered for you.
But you've got a good day to do it, a great day for a drive. Well, good luck to one and all. If you have, again, any kind of a car care question, keep in mind Nick will take his leave about 7:45. So don't wait. We'd love to hear from you. Any kind of car, truck, van problem, call or text 651-461-9226. Here's another one. 2018 Ford Escape, 21,000 miles on it. Video screen went black one day after starting the vehicle. Drove that way to the destination. Drove it after sitting for about an hour, and then it worked. Now the compass gets stuck on north. Some days it might work, some days not. I've heard these are certain issues, particularly with Ford. Is there a fix for that, is the question.
There may be a software update. I assure you're not the only person. Keep in mind, these are computers. And these computers live in a world that moves, and it's in the dead of winter, the heat of the summer. So it's got a lot of parameters, a lot of conditions that have to deal with. So my first inquiry would be maybe check with Ford. There might be an update in the software. There's a glitch there. And that would hopefully just resolve it. But you do hear these types of situations from time to time, and like I mentioned, the environment that these computers live in is not ideal. So you got to be a little impatient, but I'm sure there's a solution for the listener.
It's a question that we get from time to time on the show, and I know you must too. Do gas additives really work?
Well, I think, like we say, you cannot fix a problem in the can. There's not a fix it. You know, if there's something's broken or worn or leaking, you can't fix it. Now, can you do maintenance? Can there be a fuel injection cleaning or some of these oil conditioners? Can they help? For sure they can help. You know, you clean out a lot of the debris or the carbon. That stuff can work. But if you're trying to resolve a problem, you're not going to fix it out of a can, unfortunately. It sounds good. It's inexpensive, relatively, but it's not going to fix your problems.
I know that some folks swear by certain products that they put in not only their vehicles, but in their small engines, you know, lawnmowers, et cetera. But, you know, if they have good luck with it, great. But like you said, it's in many cases, it's marketing. Here's another, doesn't say what kind of vehicle it is, but the dealer installed new brakes, and now my vehicle's brakes squeak. Any ideas why? I guess what they're asking is how new brakes can squeak.
Well, you know, there's possibilities. Now, it might be where the mating, it's likely the squeak is a vibration. The vibration's likely the mating surface of the pad and the rotor. Maybe the pads were replaced and the rotors were not, so that mating surface isn't liking each other. Maybe it needs a little lubrication on those slides or pivoting places. I would say new brakes should not squeak. I would take it back and say, hey, maybe go for a ride with someone. Here's what's happening. I'm sure they can resolve it. Pull the wheels off. Assess, you know, like I said, maybe they're lubricating or resurfacing something, but you shouldn't have to spend money to have brakes make noise.
How long do brakes last these days? I know it depends on how you drive, how often you drive, where you drive, and all that. But generally speaking, if somebody comes into Lloyd's and gets a brake job on their vehicle, about how long does that last, would you say? But again, are there too many variables to answer that?
Well, there are a lot of variables. I mean, we will see vehicles under 40,000 miles. But like you said, a lot of city driving. My truck, which is actually a lot of city driving over the years. I mean, it's almost a 9-year-old truck, but there's 90,000 miles, and we just replaced the brakes last year. So, you know, I probably got 80-some thousand miles out of my brakes. But different vehicles, different conditions. Like you said, I would expect people to think 50,000 miles is reasonable. If you're getting 60 or 70, even better. If you're getting on the lower end, 30,000, you know, some vehicles will wear them at 40. But if you're in the lower end, I start to wonder if there's something else going on. Maybe we have a caliper that's not releasing. Maybe we have an issue with the brake fluid flow, not coming back out of the caliper. So there's a slight dragging going on there. So if you're getting very few miles, I'd look a little bit deeper. But I'd like to say 50,000 is a good number to start with.
You know, I know we've talked about it on the show before, but when we really think about it, over the years, I mean, our cars are really kind of, I don't want to say totally worry-free, but they really service well, unlike way back when, you know, they'd rust out in 5 minutes and, you know, they're constantly having problems. But we get in, we start the car, we rarely check the oil. And those service really well, considering, you know, how often and what we don't do for them. I hope that, you know, you get your oil changed often. But really, they do such a good job for us, I think.
It is magical. I would say, you know, I've been doing this my whole life since I was a kid. And 100,000 miles, I can remember when I was a teenager, was like the most amazing thing. You saw a car at 100,000 miles, you need to put it in a museum. Now, I'm confident in saying every vehicle that's sold now that's maintained, you should get at least 200,000 miles out of it. I mean, there's no reason you shouldn't. But the key word there is maintain. You have to change the oil. And I know we all get busy. We all do. But, you know, those little things, it's a half hour of your day or an hour out of your day to do some of the simple maintenance items several times a year, it's a big deal. And then when those intervals come up, the 30, the 60, you know, sometimes there's a numeric or a letter on your dash, don't ignore that for very long, because all you do is create more problems for yourself, and more problems cost more money. It's absolutely less expensive to maintain the vehicle than it is to repair a vehicle. And I've done this for when I started Lloyd's, 1998, and I have years and years of records to prove if you maintain it, it's going to be less expensive than having to fix it. So if you can walk away from this hour of talk, it's that.
Absolutely, for sure. Hang on, Nick. We're going to take a break and have a look at that forecast, see what we're facing here this coming week weather-wise. In the meantime, Nick will be around here for about another 10, 15 minutes. So if you have any kind of a car care question, don't wait. We'd love to hear from you, either by phone or by text. If you want to call and chat with Nick, great. Otherwise, send him your question via text. Either way, 651-461-461. 9226 here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Welcome back to Cecil's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday in the 7 o'clock hour, right after the 7 o'clock news break. Denny Long here with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul, answering those car care questions. And we have a bunch, Nick, so let's get back to it. Jason is on the horn calling in from Bloomington this morning. Thank you, Jason. What's your question for Nick?
So, yeah, I've got an 06 BMW 330i, brought it into the Bloomington dealership. They evaluated the whole thing and was a crankcase breather tube. I replaced it myself. The car was running too lean, and now I'm getting a code that says my car is running too rich. So I'm kind of on the other side of the equation now and don't really know what to do or where to turn.
Well, that's definitely a strange one. Lean codes happen because it's an air leak. Running too rich makes me wonder, maybe try resetting things with the computer if you have the capability.
I did.
You know, too rich means either, what, not enough air or too much fuel. I'd have to have, you know, truthfully, what you need to do is get hook up to a scan tool that can give you live data. Therefore, you can see what's happening. You can look at some of the fuel trim, some of the additive, if it's adding fuel. If you look at the oxygen sensors, maybe one of them is skewed because it was running lean for so long that it's out of balance, we'll call it. But there's a couple things you need to get, a couple PIDs you need to watch to figure out where that's headed. So the other thing, too, I would make sure that the caller, when you replace that crankcase breather that you're using original equipment, there is a lot of aftermarket parts in the world, and many of them are just fine. We'll use them in the appropriate situation. But I can tell you on this type of stuff there, you definitely want to use the original equipment or figure out who has made it, make sure you're buying that same part, because we've been kind of bit by that before, too. So a couple of things for that caller. Make sure the part he bought was original equipment or made by the same manufacturer. Number two, find a way to get some live data to see what's going on there, because something's skewed. So I don't think it's the end of the world, but you want to have it looked at before you do create more problems for yourself.
All right. Good luck, Jason. Good luck. Good hunting. Roger calling in this morning, I believe, from Silver Lake. Roger's on the horn for Nick. Roger, what's your question?
Yeah, I've got a 2019 Toyota Corolla, and in the owner's manual, I'm looking up for, it's got a CVT transmission, and I'm not having any problems or anything, but when I look at maintenance on it, in owner's manual, it says nothing on there. And I'll be honest with you, I've called a couple dealers and asked them about it. Some dealers say, oh, yeah, you should do them at 50,000 miles or 60,000 miles. And others, oh, no, that's lifetime. And I just know with these older regular automatic transmissions, they generally get a regular change or a flush, you know, every 50, 100,000 miles or something like that. Can I ask what you know of them? And because also I've watched YouTube videos and some people say they do change it, but they just take the plug out and they drain some oil out. And there's like a little tube up in there too you take out and drain some. It doesn't like flush the whole transmission. Do you have any ideas on that?
So Denny, and this is a good question because we've come across this. The owner's manual is a wonderful guide. Now, I will say that we don't always agree word for word what the owner's manual tells us. I would say if there is a way to service a fluid, it should be done. Now, if it's 50,000 miles, if it's 80,000 miles, but I do believe that there's nothing that's forever. Fluids, they collect dirt, they get worn, they get hot, they get cold, so a maintenance schedule is not a bad thing. Now, more and more commonly, however, you know, as the listener noted, that it's a drain and fill procedure, which is very common, almost the only way you can do a lot of these services, especially on transmissions, whether it's an automatic or a CVT or a manual transmission. So that doesn't make it as costly as, remember back, you know, years ago, you'd pull the pan down, you get a new filter. It's a little labor intense. It would cost several hundred dollars, sometimes more. These scenarios where the drain and fill, it's less expensive. So I would tell this listener, all listeners, you know, like we say, check the owner's manual. It's a wonderful guide. depending on your driving habits, where you live, the climate you live in, it can make a little variance in those recommendations. So maintenance is never going to hurt your vehicle. If this, you know, with this particular listener, I'd say, you know, if you can go at your 60,000 mile service, you go in for whatever else is needed. Unfortunately, there's not a dipstick to necessarily check that fluid. So you're going to have to kind of come up with a number, have them drain it at 60,000 and say, oh yeah, that was pretty dirty. Maybe next time you do it at 50. Or if they say, well, we did it, but boy, that looked really clean. Maybe you can push out a little bit longer. So you'll have to kind of gauge it on your own vehicle, but I definitely would not veer away from doing any kind of fluid services or maintenance.
Nick, I think we have time for one more quick one, and anything left over, we'll start the show next week with that. Here's a 2007 Lincoln MKX. Makes, always wanted to do this, a type of noise. Sound when I turn left or right when turning corners. It has 162,000 miles on it, always been maintained in good shape. No one has been able to find out what makes that irk noise. Why, you, I would assume you or your crews would probably have to drive it, right?
Well, actually, what I would rather is that Denny makes that noise a few more times so we can get a couple more laughs.
I'm not going to do it.
You're right. Here's my quick answer there. We just got out of the winter season. Cold, salt, dries out rubber. There's a bushing somewhere, or you know, some sort of rubber grommet somewhere that's flexing when you're turning, and you're hearing that noise. So, you know, when you go in for service, take someone from around the block, have them hear the noise. It might cost a little bit of money for them to dig around and get to the bottom of it, but if they can lubricate it or if it's easily replaced, you're going to be much happier. So those noises can be very much of a nuisance, you know, and oftentimes a simple repair.
Yeah, well, that's good news. Nick, let's do this again next week. Let's give us some information how we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's.
Yeah, you ever have a question or need some advice, you can call us at 651-228-1316. You can check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net. And like we always say, if you're on lovely Grand Avenue, stop by and say hi.
Excellent. Well, have a successful drive today, Nick, and we'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right. Thank you, Denny.
You bet. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell straight ahead with his wine chat, and then get those lawn and garden questions ready for Mary Meyer from the U of M next hour here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO.